someone became the king on this day. So he celebrating that day for him. Someone graduated on this day. So celebrating that day for him. Islam did not connect us to any of these things like this. Eid, for example, has no connection with human beings. The connection is with the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of our deen. And therefore, we should not be connecting any of these things with human beings. Since we are talking about it, we find in our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to keep it very clean and pure, and to show that is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a man-made deen. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's son, he had a son Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu, and his son passed away. And it so happened that on the very same day, they had the moon eclipse, the sun eclipse. Now, people started saying, oh, it was Muslims, Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhi wa sallam started saying, it was because of the birth of Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu. And it was, this was their understanding during the days of Jahiliyyah, that when an important person dies in the world, then you have one of these signs of either a sun or moon eclipse. So they thought, now because of Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu, very important person, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, it must be because of him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to give a khutbah in the masjid. Now a person like us will try to take opportunity of it. Use this opportunity that, okay, I'm getting a better name now. See, I know it wasn't because of this, but who knows, you know. So, why should I try to just say anything about it? The least I would do, a person like me would do, will just stay quiet and not say anything. So I won't, next time anything happens, I can say, oh, I didn't tell you people celebrate, it was because of my son. You people said it at that time. I didn't say nothing about it. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up on the minbar and he said, these things never happen because of a birth or a death of any person. These are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through which he reminds his greatness. Don't affiliate this with the death of my son. And this was to make sure that everything stays very clear and clean. We don't start attaching things to human beings that are not attached to human beings and not supposed to be attached to human beings. And subhanAllah, as I said, 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal became known as the date on which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And here we find that the day on which he died and the date on which he died was 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. So now, we are celebrating what? He was born on that day, he passed away on that day. So, what was more important? To celebrate his day of birth, or to feel sad and bad about his death on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept everything very straight and clean. There was a sahabi, of course, who became a sahabi later on. 40 years later, he became a sahabi, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 40 years later, started inviting people to the deen of Allah. His name was Usman bin Abul As. His mother, whose name was Fatima bint Abdullah, she says, I was the nurse for Amina at that time, for the delivery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she said, when, of course, now she was there and she's witnessing all of these incidents. So she says, the time he was born, we saw so much light. Everything was filled with light. The house is lightened up and everything, we saw so much light there. And when he came, as soon as he came, he was leaning on the ground with his hand. His head is towards the skies. And he was clean. This is what she says. She says, I was the nurse. I didn't have to wash him. He was clean like if he was born washed. Then it was the question about circumcising him. And she said he was circumcised by birth. These were signs that were showing people that he's a very special child. And everyone was seeing something very special, but of course, nothing came to their mind telling them that prophethood might be the special thing that is that this child carries with him. His mother says, Amina, that at the time of birth, I saw if just the stars were touching the roof of my house. They came so close. And of course, stars simply mean she saw something like stars. We know from the hadith, sometimes these stars are angels. Just like the hadith where a sahabi was reciting Quran, he says, I saw a cloud coming so low and there were some stars in it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, those were angels that came to listen to your recitation. The next thing now was naming Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look in the ancestors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his father, his grandparents, you would find that most of those names have some affiliation with idol worshipping. Of course, Abdullah, he was his father, and that was another sign that this is a special person. Out of all the boys that Abdul Muttalib had, Abdullah was the only one that has no affiliation with idol worshipping at all. And of course some other names, but they were not even affiliated with Allah. This was the only name affiliated with Allah, Abdullah. Otherwise, you have his uncle, Abu Lahab. Now what was his name? Abdul Uzza, Abdul Muttalib. And these type of names were very common amongst Quraysh. You don't find people having this name Muhammad. This name was not changed later on as he became a prophet. Allah said, now I'm going to change your name. I don't like the name that your father or your grandfather gave you or your mother gave you. And I will choose this name, Muhammad, for you. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show people that from and before birth, everything was set for him. That Abdul Muttalib kept on seeing dreams, and Amina also at the same time, continuously they're seeing dreams. Someone is telling them, as you will have the child, make sure you name him Muhammad. So when they had this child, they said, we saw this dream so many times, and name sounds so beautiful, and they named him Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the very beginning, from the birth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from any type of affiliation with idol worshipping. So to the extent that even the name that was given to him was not a name that had anything to do with jahiliyyah. And at every step you would see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the things of jahiliyyah. The reason I'm reminding this at this point is so that we remember how important it is for us to make sure that our children from the childhood, from birth, they stay away from the things of jahiliyyah. Don't wait until they grow up and we think that then I will teach them Islam. Then we will take them to masjid. Then we will teach them what deen is. Then we will teach them Quran. No, from the very early days, instead, reciting these type of things in their presence, let them keep on hearing the right things and stay away from all the wrong things. This is why when the books talk about silk and gold being haram for men, a question comes, young children, of course they don't get any sin for any of these things. There is no sin on them. So can mothers are allowed to use silk and gold, can mothers give them the type of dress and put on them the type of dress that have silk on it, or they can give them, put some jewelry on them? And the book says, no. Don't do it. He's a future man. So let him, teach him how to be man from childhood, not once he will grow up. And very important for us, that we need to teach our children that there are Muslims. They are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from childhood. Let them hear only and see only what a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should hear and should see. This, all of these things have effect on these children. This is why we find that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protecting him from that time. It's a lesson for us. Sometimes people call and they say, you know, my son or my daughter, they were very nice. They were so good. All of a sudden, they changed. So we think it's an effect of shaitan or of jinn or magic on them. I tell them, no, I'm sorry, I can't accept this. Yes, the first year when I came to this part of the world, when I heard those stories, I felt sorry for them and I accepted those stories, but not after 13 years. Now we know where the shaitan and jinn comes from. And who's doing all of that magic on them? So, if our children are hearing all of those things from the childhood, this is what they are growing up on. So of course, this is the effect. These are the things that will have the effect on them as they grow up. And then all of a sudden, they show it to us. Initially, they hide it from us. And they show us only what we like to see. Then a time comes when they feel that I don't even have to show them what they like to see. Now I'm free. And I can do whatever I want. And they shouldn't be ruling me, and they have no right to enforce their ways of lives on me. I can tell them this is what I want and this is how I like to live. The point we are learning, the lesson we are getting from these incidents, that we are not just reading a history that a man was born and there was so many things happened at this birth and mashallah and we say subhanallah. No, we are taking our lessons from it, from the seerah, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raising his prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam so that he could do something in future and he will be a person who would be suitable for carrying all of these things and these responsibilities in the future. Same thing, if we want our children to achieve something in future, then this is what we need to do for them from that early age, is that doing the right things for them. Protect them from all the evils from that early age. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he was named Muhammad, what does Muhammad mean? Now Allah, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that name for him. Why name Muhammad? In Arabic language, Muhammad means alladhi yuhmadu marratan ba'da marra, a person who's continuously being admired. The translation of this word Muhammad is in Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have exalted your name. That is really a translation of Muhammad. A person who's always been admired, who's always remembered with a lot of respect. رَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We exalted your name, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we see, hardly there will be a minute when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name is not mentioned in the world. Forget about salah. In salah we remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. At the time of marriages, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name is mentioned. At the time of any lectures, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name is mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that his name is always attached to Allah's name. So whenever we say La ilaha illallah, that is Muhammadur Rasulullah. At the beginning of khutbah, Alhamdulillah, then we say Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. But you just take the adhan, where in the adhan we have the same thing. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. There was an article some time or long time back in one of the magazines where a person did research on this adhan, that how adhan, there isn't any moment of the day of the whole 24 hours when at somewhere in the world adhan is not being called. And he gave the example starting from Indonesia. And he said, in Indonesia, when it is morning, it's time for Salatul Fajr. And then he started from there. So, at the time when they have the time of Salatul Fajr, countries next to them, they are having the time of Salatul Zuhr. The countries that are further away from them, they are having the time of Salatul Asr. Further down, they have the time of Salatul Maghrib. By the time in Indonesia, they are calling the Adhan of Fajr, and of course within cities we have the difference of 5-10 minutes, as depending on the distances. You know, between here in New York we have the difference of 15 minutes, here in Toronto we have the difference of about 3 minutes. So accordingly, by the difference of every 2-3 minutes, there is Adhan being called of that prayer in some town. So where in this country people are calling Adhan of Fajr at every 2-3 minutes, next country, at the same, very same time, people are calling the Adhan of Salat al-Zuhr. The country further away from them, at the very same time, people are calling the Adhan of Asr. The country is further away from them, at the very same time, people are calling Adhan of Maghrib. And you go further down, and at the very same time when Adhan of Fajr is being called over there, people far away from them, they are calling the Adhan of Isha. Now they keep on switching. It's time for Zuhr over there. Next country is time for Asr. The one away from them is time for Maghrib. So, throughout the day, and almost at every minute of the day, Adhan is being called somewhere in the world.